So Jesus, the mission of Jesus, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, was to proclaim the gospel of God, preaching repentance and belief in the gospel. So to believe in the gospel, faith. So the foundation is faith. And so everything that we hear about in the scriptures is in somehow directly related to growth in the faith, entering and going deeper into the faith. And so we hear about in the last couple weeks, and we heard about in the gospel today, about healings and how Mark likes to use these extreme terms. Everybody came to Jesus to be healed, all of the sick, all of Judea. And so he's communicating the power of God and how it is encompassing everything. And Jesus is doing these great signs. And the purpose of these signs is to what? To lead people that they would have true faith. But at the same time, Jesus is saying to the demons and to some of those who are being healed, don't tell anybody about this. Keep it secret, right? He prevented the demons from revealing who he was. The demons knew who he was, right? This is the Holy One of God. Well, you'll find that theme runs through the entirety of the Gospel of Mark, of this keeping it secret. It's called the theme of the Messianic secret. And so what's this about? Why the secrecy? If the gospel is about proclaiming and announcing, isn't it kind of ironic that the message from Jesus is throughout is permeated by keeping it quiet, don't tell anybody? Well, we have to look at the connection between signs and miracles and faith. A lot of times, signs and miracles don't lead to faith. We know that, remember the 10 lepers that were healed? And how many of them came back to Jesus? How many of them ended up having faith? 1 out of 10. So a lot of times, the miracles and signs are not producing the effect that Jesus is looking for. Because what do we end up doing? Instead of coming to God in faith, we're coming to God for rewards and needs for ourselves. It's kind of like maybe even a prosperity gospel type of preaching or approach. If you come to God, then you're going to be blessed abundantly, materially, here in this life. And so, of course, the churches are going to be filled. Everybody wants that message. It's all self-serving. It doesn't lead to faith. And now, it doesn't have to be like that. God can bless us and bless us abundantly, and he does in many different ways, and that can lead to faith. But oftentimes, as we see in the Gospels, and for the purpose of Jesus holding people back from spreading it, the secrecy is that it ends up compromising people turning to Jesus as God in faith. So that's one avenue that we just kind of took an overview look at as far as coming to God in faith. When God blesses us, God heals us, God restores us, we find ourselves doing well. Well, the other side we hear about from Job. So Job is the most just man on earth, and as a test, God basically lets Satan have his run of things with Job, and he's deprived of everything materially and physically. And then he gives this prayer. We hear about, is life not a drudgery? That's a heavy word. And he's speaking how he can't, his nights are full of restlessness. He can't sleep, and the night goes on and on, and his days end without hope. And they end quickly, and he's like a slave who's looking for the shade and the sun's heat. He's like a hireling looking out for wages. So it's a pretty grim, dark picture, this suffering that Job experiences. But it's the interesting thing is that he comes to an even deeper faith through the suffering than most of those who were healed or received miracles in the gospel came to faith from what Jesus did. The lesson here is that through suffering often offers the quickest, easiest route to deeper faith. And we see that with Job. Job's faith was being tested, but he learned a deeper faith. He learned because there was a lot of dialogue between God and Job. And so Job thought he knew a lot about God, but realized that he didn't know as much about God as he thought. And in that, he was brought to a deeper level of faith in God. On the first Saturday of each month, I shared with you before, we priests go and visit the shut-in. So those parishioners who are not able to get out hardly at all, most of the ones that I visit can't even get out of bed. From our parish, visit a paraplegic, person who has cerebral palsy into extreme form, some of the aged, they can't even get out of their chair. And yesterday, as I finished up, I came to myself to think, instead of calling these first Saturday visits to the shut-ins, I'm going to call these first Saturday visits to the mystics, because it's amazing as they share with me the deep level of their faith. And one thing that is always coming out is, like, they talk to me about living in the will of God and doing the will of God. And here they are, almost, they're deprived of every material comfort, almost incapacitated, and they're expressing this incredible faith and how all they want to do is do God's will. And I'm just like, wow. Well, they have came to a deeper faith through their suffering. And one lady, older lady, who's very much incapacitated, she was sharing with me about, she said, "Father, there's some intimacy with God that you can only discover through suffering." I'm like, oh, can I just preach about it and not experience that? Okay. But she was nailing it, and she was living it and incarnating it for me. It's like, in the sense of, like, there's nothing else to cling to. And so she, just like Job, she clings to God in complete darkness. And so a real faith comes through that. So how do we look at the sufferings in our lives? Do we see them as things that are allowed to some degree because this is the way the world rolls, but things in which God uses, situations in which God uses, that we can go deeper in faith? Or are we looking just to grow in our faith through miracles, signs, abundance, blessing? Well, I'm usually on that side, okay? But most of the time, God's one, and the most effective way for us to go into deeper faith is through the struggle and through the suffering, because we learn what true faith is. We learn what it means to cling to God. And that's really part of the Paschal mystery. We're called to live in the Paschal mystery. That's the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That means that we share in his passion, in his death, and his resurrection. So identifying ourselves in what we're experiencing in the sufferings, maybe we have lost a spouse or a relative or a friend who was close to us. How do we understand ourselves in that loss, that deprivation that we're experiencing? Well, we're in the tomb with Jesus, right? Or, all of the psychological disorders that people are suffering from, anxiety, depression, you name it. How do I reject or rebel when I'm undergoing? Or do I identify myself with the Lord in his passion? It's like I'm going through Jesus with the crown of thorns. See, wherever, and you're at work and you're getting harassed and not treated fairly. Well, you're with Jesus before Pilate, right? And the people accusing Jesus unjustly. So wherever we're at, even if the suffering is self-inflicted, because a lot of our suffering is self-inflicted, Christ transforms all of it, and it becomes an avenue for us, a channel for us, in which we can enter into the Paschal mystery and into deeper faith. So I know that this is kind of a scary message and one that we don't hear all of the time, but it's one that nonetheless we are being invited to. And as all faith, all legitimate faith requires, it takes a leap of faith. Are we ready to take the leap in our lives into the suffering that leads to this special intimacy, as this lady shared with me, intimacy with God that only can be realized through suffering?